Today's Mishnah in Masechet Taharot is Perek Zayin, Mishnah Zayin. So we've been discussing cases where there is a chashad that an Amoretz had touched, or and maybe there were other people in the house that did more than touch. They might have sat and made something tamei as a zov, and they might have moved, which would be metame even kli cheres that was mukav tzamit pasil. And these are cases where it's in your home. Now, what about if you've got a locker in the gym? That's a pretty common case. You go into a gym, you get a locker, you put your clothes in the locker. What is the din if there are also Amei Haaretz in this gym? It's not a gym only for Chaverim. The Chaverim that went there were shocked to find out that Chaverim means the people who pay for their gym. It does not mean people who are makbid on the Dinim of Tumah V'Taira. My gosh. They found this out too late. So now, are the clothes in the locker possibly been touched by the Amoretz or not? So, Aminiach et Kelav b'chalon shel od yarin. So somebody goes ahead, puts his clothing into a locker, which was part of a wall of lockers. He closed the door, and he comes back. He doesn't see any indication that somebody went into his locker, but it wasn't locked. So what's the din? So Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah mitaher. Look, people don't go into other people's locker. I mean, it's if anybody sees them, it looks like he's going through pockets to try to steal money, and they're very careful not to be caught in that kind of position. So since it was closed, he would be nitfas alav kiganev, and therefore it's as if it were locked. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, the clothes are considered to be tamei unless he had actually locked the door. And then even if he gave the front desk the key to hold behind the secretary at the front desk, and then when he finishes, he takes the key back, so you would think, well, I mean, if he gave the key to the front desk, that's not a proper shmira. No, even that's enough. It's fine. They have to give him a key, and he gave the key to the secretary, or he might actually use a chotam on the door, which in those days, remember, when everybody walked around with a chotam ring, which I'm sure Barnea is probably wearing one right now since he lives across the generations, you know, he would just take a little bit of that sealing wax, melt it over the door, and use his ring to close it.
Right.
And, of course,
I have a seal impression from Bais Risha.
I'm sure. I wanted to see the whole thing. All right, so in those days, that was as good as a little chip that electrified the door, and it would notify your cell phone if anybody opened it. Or, if you're more into James Bond, what you could do is you could take a little hair and put it at the edge of the door so that if it were open, it would move the hair, and then you would know, uh-oh, somebody's placed a bomb inside my locker. Fine, but there's all kinds of ways you could be sure about that. So you could also be Asa Siman, and that way you would know that somebody's been poking around in my locker. There's the only way, according to Chachamim, that would be sufficient for you to be assured that it was Tahar.
You can see such one goes in Masada from the time of the Mishnah by a large mikveh there, the windows at the top of the steps where people put their clothes without doors, but this.
Well, they had doors. It's just that the doors decayed in time.
It could be there. Everybody trusted.
Could be.
Well, you see.
Yeah. Now, how about, and this introduces this fascinating idea that people are careful not to be metame a kohen, even if they themselves are Amei Haaretz. And everyone is makbid to try as much as possible not to bring tumah to Truma. So, let's say you have a situation where, remember, it was very common that people would rent the right to make wine in a gut, and they would utilize their own kalim to make sure that there was no problem of the Tuma of the kalim. So this guy owns his own kalim, and he would leave his kalim there from year to year. He only used it once a year at the season that he would go to the Gat. And he leaves it over the year. So we assume that the Kelim are Tahorim, even though you think, well, I mean, if they're not inside of a special locked cabinet, how can he know that they're Tahorim? So the reason that they're Tahor is this introducing this new idea that Amei Haaretz, who know that someone is a Kohen and who knows that he's makpid to have his own special Kelim, respect that and are careful not to make it Tomei. And therefore the Amei Haaretz, just like we saw, that the Amei Haaretz is believed to say, I didn't touch anything, except in the cases where there was a goy with him that we spoke about yesterday. Here too, the Amei Haaretz is not going to touch because it's known that he's a Kohen. But if the person who left it there from year to year was not a Kohen, he was a Yisrael, then we have to be absolutely certain that it's considered to be Tahor. The only way it would be considered to be Tahor is Achi Omar Bilibi Haya Lishomram. So I had every intention of taking care to make certain that nobody touched them. But otherwise, normally, if he would go away, then he would have to be Choshesh. Now, this is a complex sugya because there's a lot of attempts by the Mefarshei HaMishnah, the later Mefarshei HaMishnah, to explain what difference it would make if Belibi Haya L'Shomram. So they give different kind of explanations. You know, that if it was Belibo L'Shomram, so then he would be able to identify by their exact position, whether they were moved during the time, it's stuff like that, which I think is absolutely not what we're talking about over here at all. And we'll see from the Mishnayos to come that there's a completely different concern here, which is being introduced for the first time in the Masechet here. And that is something that we spoke about a great deal when we were dealing with Purah. That's the concept of Hasochas Hadas. And that means, as we explained over there, since the concept of Tyrus is, as the Gemara in Shabbos explains, that the meaning in the Pasuk from Maseches Tyrus in the Pasuk of Ahoya Munasitecha, Chayis and Yeshuais, Chochmas Vadas, in the order of the Seder, the Siddurim of the Mishnah, the last one, which is Das, is Tyrus. And it's because of that that the question of the presence of consciousness when it comes to Tyrus is central. So we've seen that the very fact that a person loses consciousness of something is ipso facto a siba to call it tamei in certain cases where we have the milus of Pura, we have the milus of Kadesh. And the same thing is true over here. The Yisrael has no reason to believe that people are going to respect his desire for making certain that he eats everything b'taira. Remember, the idea of achilas kachim b'taira is viewed as an idiosyncrasy. That's the question of whether it's given a basis in the halacha and that things become more sensitive because of his super consciousness. That's a machlokas that we spoke about before, about whether chulin shenas v'atayras hakodesh are considered to be as sensitive to tuma as actual kodesh is, or only chulin shenas v'atayras truma are considered to be as sensitive. In this case, people do not respect the fact that a Yisrael wants to be shomer things b'taira the way that they respect the Kohen, because the Kohen they know is going to actually come in contact with Truma. Everybody respects Truma, and they want to make sure that that Truma will not be Tomei. But when it comes to some super frum guy who's decided that he wants to have only things but Tyra, you know, the one-upmanship does not exactly make people respect him. So in that event, what happens is that the moment that he walks away, he may actually just say to himself, ah, the hell with it. It's probably, I'm going to have to make everything tahor when I get back next year. So then that is a hesach hadat. And then even if we find out that nobody ever touched it, it would be tamei because of the fact that he was mesiach das from it and essentially left it efker for everybody. So if he says, I had in mind the entire time to care about this thing and to question what the situation is and so on, that is enough to allow us to assume that since it wasn't particularly in a place where we would have to assume that somebody touched it and so on, then it would be considered to be tahar. And that, this way that I'm understanding the Mishnah, ties directly into the next Mishnah, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Chet. So, Mishaya Tahar, we had a Kohen who was Tahar, and he decided, I'm not hungry, I'm not going to be eating today. So now the question is he still Tahar if he wants to eat, or is the very decision that he's no longer going to be eating, is that make him, because of Hesach Hadas, it makes him tummy, and now he becomes the same as a Kohen who needs to go to the mikveh before he eats truma. So Rabbi Yehuda says, there's another issue to consider. Now, these two issues are now the two issues that we talked about in the previous Mishnah. Are people careful not to allow a Kohen to become tummy? That was issue number one that we discussed, where it's known that he's a Kohen. And then issue number two was the question of whether he was Mesiach Daitai, and therefore there was no real Shmira from Tuma. So Rabbi Yehuda says, look, since people know that he's a Kohen, people that are Tame are careful not to make him Tame. And therefore, it's highly unlikely that he became Tame. They didn't know that he had made up his mind that he's not going to be eating any truma today. So they were very careful not to make him Tame. So what does he have to worry about? Even if he's Resiach Baita himself, but that's only Hatzokas Adas from Shmira. But if the other people are shamer him not to allow him to get tahar, tame, so then why would he have to get tahar now? Whereas the Chachamim say, no. Hesach Hadas has nothing to do with the question of whether other people are going to make him tame. It has to do whether he is considered to be in a state of das, of tyra. And therefore, once a Kohen is not being shamer himself for achilas truma, he can't eat truma anymore. He has to actually go to the mikveh before he eats truma. Now, this is true about his body as a whole. The situation gets more complex when we're talking about yadayim. And that's because, for the same reason, that we wash our hands before we eat bread, right? Now, why do we wash our hands before we eat bread? So that's because there is an overall special gezerah on stam yadayim that the Chachamim made, and that stam yadayim, this is based on the idea which is called, I'm almost positive that it was already well defined in the Gavi list, but just in case, that yadayim askaniyotim, hands have a tendency to touch things and places on the body that you're not even thinking about. You're not aware of the fact that you allowed your hands to become dirty. That's all. And it, because of that, of course, it's very advisable, stone, to wash your hands. You come in from the street, or you've been a while where you haven't been thinking about making sure your hands didn't touch anything. Who knows what you scratched and what you touched and so on. You don't want to touch food with those dirty hands. Forget about Tumah V'Tahira. So that's called Yadayim Askaniyotim. Because Yadayim Askaniyotim, so we made a takana that not just to keep things clean, do we want you to make sure that you wash your hands? But we are afraid that if you are allowed to touch truma, you're allowed to touch kodesh with hands that have not been washed, you will actually make them disgusting in some way by touching them after touching your body or after using the toilet or whatever. And we want to make sure that that doesn't happen in order to protect, not from truma, but to protect from zilzul and yirida in their chashivas. So we made a takana. You can't even touch truma. You can't even touch kodesh unless you actually wash first. And that's the din of washing for a person who's exposed to kodesh v'truma. And in order to make this a very serious thing that people are going to always do, so they said, we're going to give your hands a din of tuma. That's the din of stam yadayim, which is the equivalent of the hands being a sheni latuma. So although for chulin, a sheni betuma is not going to affect, But if you touch Truma or Kadesh, a Sheni Bechulin here would actually, the Sheni of Yadayim would be Metame your Truma. It would be Metame your Kadesh. And so because of that, we also ended up, since there's a Takona of Netilas Yadayim for people who are exposed to Truma or Kachin, what about Bizman HaZeh, where we don't have access to Truma V'Kachim? So the Chachomim were koveya the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim Bizman HaZeh as well, in order that people should get used to the idea of needing to be Shomer Yadayim, because at any moment you're going to have access to Kodesh and the new Beis HaMikdash and Truma if you're around Barnea. And therefore, we made this Gezeret for all times, and you always have to wash your Yadayim. Obviously, the idea of that is no longer something that would be miyuchad for Kohanim. So in order that people should retain the awareness of the concept, some concept of consciousness, instead of the madness of modern society, so because of that, there's still a concept of Stam Yadayim. So somebody who was eating and he made Netilas Yadayim, which we limited Davka to pot, fine, according to some, it wasn't Davka to pot, it could also be for Perot, but in any event, wherever there would be this halacha, it would be Nogea Afilu Bizman HaZeh, even for people who are not Kohanim. That's what we're talking about over here. Now, the first part of the Mishnah, that's all very nice, just talking about the din that is miyuchet for the Kohen. Now, how about the din of Netilas Yadayim? There, any type of truma that you eat, for sure you have to be doing Netilat Yadayim, because there it's not a din in pot only. So how about a Kohen who had done Netilas Yadayim? By the way, for Kodesh, remember, we had the different din for Kodesh and for Purah. So for Kodesh, it's not enough to do the Netilas Yadayim. You would need to actually put the Yadayim into a mikveh. And for Purah, you would have to go to a mikveh. But fine. But in any event, the Kohen decides he's not eating anymore. He's full. But he wants to make sure that his Yadayim remain clean. So he says, I have my mind on the Yadayim, and they're not, there shouldn't be Stam Yadayim. Okay. So let's talk about a case like this. His Yadav were Tahorot, but he decided not to eat anymore. So, Yu Yadav Tahorot v'yisiyat libo milechol, even though he says, look, I know 100%, for heaven's sakes, I was careful. I did not touch anything. Yodeani shelo nitmu yadai. Afal pikein yadav artimeot. And this, again, is because of da'as. And remember, as we learned in the Ramchal, who brought the Gemara, Milta Dol Ramulea Inche Lav Adaite, something that is not a chovah on you. You may think that you know, but you're not really conscious. Your brain is actually in sleeping mode. And therefore, since Yadayim are askaniot, and you are not fully conscious because it's not Milta Dol Ramulea, you're not intending to eat, it's all very nice to claim that you know, but we don't believe that you know. So when it comes to Yadayim, it does not help just to be Shomer your Yadayim. You need to actually be in charge of your Yadayim.